from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
We have reached the final hour of the program, coming to you live from the Rocky Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Brian Weber with you. Just one more hour together, and then at last, Jim is back on Monday. Last call for phone calls as well. You got a 30-minute window. 1-800-636-8686. It is an ATP Friday, so keep the emails flowing. Rome@avatake.com. 20 minutes, more of your tweets. B.W. Weber, Weber with two B's. Just one more guest before we sign off for the remainder of the summer, he says with a longing tone. Howard Balzer has been covering the NFL for decades. These days, he focuses primarily on the Arizona Cardinals for Sports Illustrated. You also hear him on Sirius XM Radio. In 20 minutes, we'll use the continuation of exhibition matchups tonight with five more preseason games on the schedule. The late game, Packers and Niners, immaterial of the fact that Aaron Rodgers could make a cameo. We'll use that game as the foundation to sum up the summer of love. It's 1968 all over again for Rodgers. And as he's enjoyed flashbacks with that wacky tee, I'm having flashbacks to last summer when it was all Aaron Rodgers all the time. And what do you know? He just wanted to shake down the Packers. Where does he stand now? Having gotten paid with the mysterious tattoo and all of the other intrigue that he has created, that's coming up in 20 minutes. Alvin is here. Garrett Ritt has picked up the phone. Must think that the control room is on TV as he pretends to work.
Thank you.
It is interesting, as we head into the last day without Jim, how the atmosphere within the studio changes. So when I arrived here, and I get here very early to annoy the staff, talk about how my career should be much bigger, and make them listen to me because I'm a lonely person. When I got here, Ritt was on his computer. Now, I think it was fake hustle. I think he was playing solitaire. But I've never seen Ritt at his workstation, because he doesn't work when I'm here. But he was in his office pretending to type, and this was early this morning. So I get the sense, and this was not me. Shocking, I was a nerdy kid, right? I was the guy saying, oh, can we have more homework? Would extra credit be a possibility? Yeah, I got beat up a lot, and I had it coming. But Ritt reminds me of the kid who's had all summer to read one freaking book, right? Just one book. And you have that book report, and it's due Monday because the Hall of Famer is coming back. So Ritt has had 2 weeks to finalize, finally, whatever he has to hand the boss on Monday. We call it a deliverable. And he's pecking away at that computer furiously. Beads of sweat glistening off that lovely dome of his. So if you don't have a chance to slide in at 1-800-636-8686, it's because Ritt is continuing to multitask. Every time I've looked over there, he's been deeply ingrained in his laptop, not listening to the program. A little bit of dancing. So I'm glad you can still live your best life. But Jim is back on Monday. Time to go to work. Uncle Brian ain't going to be here. I know I'm a pain. I know you got to listen to these stories, but it's not a bad trade-off because the Hall of Famer is coming back and expectations will be raised. When Jim is here on Monday, I think he will be talking about the decision announced by Peter Harvey, the former Attorney General of the Garden State of New Jersey. And yeah, there are gardens there. I know it seems like a contradiction. It's not all Soprano land. And I think Peter Harvey is going to let Deshaun Watson know he is now suspended indefinitely. That means you can't come back until you show the NFL that you have gone through behavior modification. because there are so many logical reasons to come up with the conclusion that Harvey is going to not only expand the six-game suspension that was handed down by former federal judge Sue Robinson, he's going to raise it to something that is far more punitive and something that I endorse. Because, and I, one more time, understand your frustration. If you find this topic to be tedious, I agree with you. I would prefer not to be talking to Sean Watson. Candidly, had we heard from Peter Harvey by now, I could read you a statement released by the NFL, tell you that Watson's not playing until he goes through therapy and counseling, and the suspension is at least a calendar year, and also includes a banishment of Watson from the Browns facility, and more immediately, won't allow him to play tonight because Cleveland is in Jacksonville. And the Browns announced, in my view, defiantly the other day that Watson is starting this game. And it happens all the time in the preseason. Many coaches refuse to commit to their starter, in part because they like to mess with the media, in part because they want to see how a backup might respond to next man up, you're starting, even in an exhibition setting, get out there with no notice. But Kevin Stefanski said definitively, Watson is scheduled to start tonight in Jacksonville. The league does not want that to happen. Quite simply, the league wants Watson to go away. And I agree. Now, if you want to believe what Watson has asserted, and it bears repeating, he has not been arrested. He has not been indicted by two separate grand juries in the state of Texas. We're not talking about committing a crime here. These are civil allegations, but they're hideous. And there's a mountain of accusers, even, and that's the wrong word, because one is too many, but even though the NFL had four alleged victims participate in their investigation, four people have had their lives forever damaged by Deshaun Watson. And until there's some contrition, until there's a, I realize that I had a misperception of my behavior, I don't see how the league allows him to play. So you can say this is wrong. You can say the NFL has no business getting involved in personal conduct. If you just want to be a libertarian, and I'm not getting political, but if you just want to take that position, I can understand that view. Because in your profession, what you do on the weekend, so long as it does not rise to criminality, should not be the interest of your employer. But you're not playing in the NFL. And that's the whole point that Roger Goodell tried to make at the beginning of his tenure that has now led to a $50 million annual salary. Go back to the end of Paul Tagliabue's run. There was a perception the league was too soft on off-the-field, quote-unquote, issues. And you had things like Leonard Little involved in a vehicular DUI. You kill somebody and you could still play in the NFL. It just seemed wrong. Goodell comes in and he makes the personal conduct policy the foundation of his commissionership. I don't think it's a coincidence that Peter Harvey was chosen by the league to go through this appeal. Goodell could have done it himself. He wants the perception that the league went to an impartial arbiter, but the league hired Peter Harvey and they've hired him in the past. He has a business relationship with the NFL. And while I respect the opinion of NFL insider Jason Cole, who joined us in the first hour of the program, who personally knows Harvey and says that he is thorough and he is meticulous with his work product, Peter Harvey, in my opinion, is going to hand the league the result they want. The question now is, as we get later in the day, approaching 2:10 Eastern time, when is Harvey going to make this announcement? Because there's a football game tonight in Jacksonville. If you just want to get into minutia, there's a school of thought that the announcement will be made around 5 o'clock Eastern time on a Friday in the summer. What do you know? They call it a news dump in our business. And the longer Harvey waits, the less time the NFLPA has to go to any federal judge they can find to try to get an injunction to let Watson play in a preseason game. It has come to this after months of wrangling and denial and a report a few months ago that the league had offered Deshaun Watson a 12-game suspension along with an $8 million fine. He continued to say he was totally innocent, went through the process. Well, last night, the report came from the Associated Press that Watson currently is now willing to accept an 8-game suspension and a $5 million fine. Too little, too late. He has waited way too long. If this was what he wanted, he should have taken the offer when it was first extended to him. Instead, he's going to be sitting, in my view, for the entire season. He's going to get a multi-million dollar fine, maybe eight, maybe 10 million bucks. And most importantly, he's going to have to go get some help, because the only way I think the league can allow him back on the field is to say he has had the necessary treatment. He has gone through behavior modification. We'll find out, but we're getting later in the day and nothing has happened. When we get to that announcement, the fallout will be, what do the Browns do next? And since I've had the great fortune to be in this chair repeatedly, and I know it was rough for a lot of you, but it's almost over. Hang with me. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. I'll do a bonus fourth hour. Ritt's going to still be working on his title page. Now, Garrett, remember, the title page doesn't count. So if you were handed the 10-page project by the boss, title page doesn't count, nor does the bibliography. I'll hang around for you. I have whiteout in my bag. We'll get this done together. What are you reading? Lord of the Flies? I'm sorry. Cliff Notes. Long, long time ago. You had the report last night from Mary Kay Cabot, who has been covering the Browns for something like 25 years, and I'm not even embellishing. She has been a lifetime journalist in Cleveland. If Mary Kay writes it, it is accurate. Check out her great work on Cleveland.com, Cleveland Plain Dealer. Mary Kay reporting that the Browns have finally woken up to a degree and realized there's a real possibility Watson ain't going to play this year. Or at a minimum, we're looking at a double-digit suspension. So, Cleveland now is interested in Jimmy Garoppolo, which is where I think we should have started at the beginning of this seemingly never-ending discussion. Again, I'll give credit to Jason Cole, who pointed out what was going to be expressed by me here, but he did it earlier in the program. Kevin Stefanski is part of the general Kyle and Mike Shanahan coaching tree. Same offense, maybe some different vernacular and particulars, but the notion is Garoppolo would be able to get up to speed quickly on what Stefanski is running offensively in Cleveland. So even though he would parachute in as training camp has wound down, and now we're into the three exhibition games, he'd have enough time to get fully immersed in the playbook and be ready for week one. And week one is the Browns taking on the Panthers, and that's now potentially, and I think it's going to be the outcome, Baker Mayfield, who not too long ago was QB number one in Cleveland, which went to Deshaun Watson, who may not play at all this year, including the preseason tonight. Briefly, Jacoby Brissett, projected as the starter, filling in for the six games that the Browns hoped Watson would only have to serve the suspension for. And now Garoppolo, part of one of the most tumultuous off seasons we've seen at the quarterback position across the NFL. So I mentioned a former number one overall pick in Baker Mayfield getting liberated from Cleveland, in part because he bought his way out, took the pay cut. He can get some of that money back by reaching incentives. Matt Ryan went to Indy. Carson Wentz landed in Washington trying to salvage his career. And Jimmy Garoppolo, who has played in the Super Bowl, coming off a run to the NFC title game, could be on his way to Cleveland, which seems like a perfect outcome for Garoppolo compared to the alternatives, because I spent a good chunk of time yesterday playing America's favorite game show, Where is Jimmy G Going? And other than backing up Matthew Stafford with the lingering elbow issue with the Rams, or going to Seattle after that grisly quarterback competition, whomever wins between Geno Smith and Drew Lock, we all lose. But I think that's the point. Seattle is tanking to load up on the draft possibilities. Garoppolo avoids going there or the Texans, although Houston seemingly likes Davis Mills. He goes to a team that is just a year removed from making it to the playoffs. You got Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, maybe unhappy, but he's still on the roster. Amari Cooper coming over from Dallas. Njoku, playmaker. Miles Garrett leading a very good defense, and Cleveland has tons of cap space, so it works financially if you care about the dollars and cents, because Garoppolo is scheduled to make $24 million, and San Francisco gets something in return, as opposed to cutting him at the end of the month and just letting him walk. But here we are now, 15 past the hour, traffic and weather together, and nothing has changed. So part of me is relieved. I have not had to go all in on Deshaun Watson. I'm aware I probably talked more about the topic than many of you would prefer, but I can't abdicate my responsibility as the host. I care about the show, Jim's brand too much, and it is the dominant story across the NFL, so hopefully I have struck the right balance. I know when I check social media, you will have a very different opinion. We're about to check social media. Ritt's going to close the word window. What size font are you using for your project with Jim? Can't be an 18 or 24. 15 minutes is not. I'll just paraphrase Ritt. I'm really, 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 really excited, Jim, to investigate this topic for you. Period. Break, 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 break. I'm very, 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 very happy to report 1-800-636-8686. I'm just pondering a young Garrett Ritt. I think you would be bald when you were 12. At some point, I need a picture of you with hair, because some people in life feel like they were born at the age of 45. I'll give you another professional wrestling analogy, because I have no life and I miss the 1980s. One of the grandest influences on my career, the icon, Mean Gene Okerlund. I can't picture him with hair. And I think he had that voice when he was 12, right? Don't you dare miss it. I cannot fathom you with a comb over or anything. And now you're in my head way too much. I have just a little bit of space other than the ghost of Harry Carey in there after the Hobgoblins that were kicking around coming off the Field of Dreams game last night. Last call for phone calls. 1-800-636-8686. 20 minutes from now, we take you around the NFL with Howard Balzer of Sirius XM Radio. Straight ahead, love will tear us apart, but it's not hurting Aaron Rodgers so far. Will love, not Jordan Love, love itself carry Aaron Rodgers to his second Super Bowl victory this season? That's coming up. I'm Brian Weber, always having a great time with you. In for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Home stretch on a Friday, but we still have a lot to get done. I am Brian Weber in for Jim Rome, with the Hall of Famer set to come back on Monday. We're going to hit the phone line straight ahead, 1-800-636-8686. It's an ATP Friday. That's coming up in the next 30 minutes. Emails, always an option. RomeAndHaveATake.com. My Twitter handle is BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. In 15 minutes, we talk NFL with Howard Balzer from Sports Illustrated and Sirius XM Radio. Coming up, I'm going to delve into a mysterious summer of love conjured up by Aaron Rodgers. First, a few more tweets. Here's Bob in LA's thought. Brian, did I hear you say you're going to flex your verbal muscle? I like that energy.
Yeah, I like this energy.
I take my shirt off, Alvin, occasionally. I might jump around. Alvin's blowing me off. Ryan in Sacktown. Come on, B-Web. Antonio Brown made a lot of sense. Yours, Tito Ortiz.
Discharge the duties.
A bad girl.
Suck.
12 Wood. Legend in these parts. Maybe if CBS put a hologram of a McRib in front of you, they wouldn't have to replace the mic every time you're on. I thought we were friends. This mic does not move. Now, I have a little bit of variance, but it is drilled into the moorings. Believe me, I would not manipulate the equipment. Rule number one as the fill-in guy, don't break anything. Keep Jim's chair intact. Make sure the mic is where it needs to be. Fact, even though I don't love the sentiment, I'll acknowledge the essence of your thought. That's the huge tweet brought to you by Dell. Inside every growing business, there's an innovator. Dell Technologies has tools to empower yours, like smart PCs powered by the Intel vPro platform. Built for business, find tech that's right for you by calling a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. Since I just read a phone number, let's take advantage of ours. 1-800-636-8686. Bob in Georgia has been patient. Hey, Bob, you're on with Brian Weber. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Brian, you're doing a good job, and I appreciate your effort.
Thank you very much. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm going to talk about this Deshaun Watson thing from a different perspective. If you're in charge of the Cleveland Browns, do you even think about getting this dude? No. He's a problem. Why in the world would they even think about it? They had a quarterback. He was a good one. He seemed to like living in Cleveland. And what would you do if you were the general manager in charge of the Browns? Would you have traded for him?
I would not have. No. All these allegations. I would have needed a lot more clarity.
Yeah, it was a stupid maneuver by the Cleveland Browns. I'm 68 years old, and I used to be a Cleveland Browns fan. When I was like 12 years old, I got Jim Brown's autograph up there in Cleveland. But when they sold the team, I kind of said, no thanks. Came back to them a little bit. But now it's over. I'll root for Green Bay Packers probably. So, but I think that that was the dumbest thing the NFL management has ever done with a football pick to get this guy with all that baggage. And he's not going to play this year. We know that already. So they should sign Garoppolo, get it over with.
Bob, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for sharing your thoughts. Well, Bob mentioned he was a Browns fan years ago. He'll give me part of my reply. The last time Cleveland won a football championship was 1964. That was Jim Brown, before he had the contract dispute with Art Modell and went to make movies, and you saw him in The Dirty Dozen. Cleveland has had an inferiority complex for decades because they haven't won anything. And I can talk about all of the near misses. You want to go into the hot tub time machine with the drive and the fumble and everything else. The reason they were interested in Deshaun Watson comes down to, if we're just talking about football ability, he's a top five quarterback. And the notion within the Browns organization was they had maxed out with Baker Mayfield. I agree, and I'm less of a Baker supporter than many of you. Baker was part of a playoff run a couple years ago. He did not help himself by playing injured last year. But Kevin Stefanski runs a sophisticated offense, and there was a perception they had maxed out with Baker because of his physical limitations, because of the perception of his prickly personality. They wanted, quote unquote, an adult in the room. Now, does that apply to Deshaun Watson off the field? Of course not. But if we're just viewing things through the prism of a football player, which we can't, but I'm going to try to compartmentalize here, Cleveland, with the opportunity to get Deshaun Watson, was willing to do whatever it took. Namely, they gave him a $230 million contract that was fully guaranteed. They had to overwhelm him with an offer that no sane person would turn down. Remember, fully guaranteed in the NFL almost never happens. They were aware of these allegations. They took a calculated risk, believed in Watson. They claimed they did an investigation. Like many things with the Browns, it must have been shoddy because all of these ideas have been out there and all of these accusations and reports, yet ownership, Jimmy Haslam, was comfortable in getting into business with Deshaun Watson, and now they're suffering the consequences. Appreciate the phone call. Bob now, a Packer fan. Go Pack, go. So let's spend a couple minutes on Aaron Rodgers with the Packers getting set to take on the 49ers tonight. And it's been an intriguing summer. And we had fun with the tattoo that he unveiled last month. Might have been designed by the Zodiac Killer. I'm not saying definitely it was, but it felt intriguing. And then apparently Rodgers decided he was going on every podcast available after an effective media blackout last year, other than Pat McAfee, because that's a safe space and he could go on with a cancel culture sweatshirt. He's on with part of my take, guys, which I'll recommend. It's a good listen. And however you view Rodgers, and my opinion has evolved. I didn't love how he approached the coyness about the vaccination status. Just trying to be too clever with I'm immunized. But Watson's fallout has made us, I think, so myopic in the NFL, we have missed other stories. And Aaron Rodgers is never going to be overlooked. But has something changed with him beyond getting in touch with his reptile mind with the magic tea and going on a psychedelic trip? Has he just decided, I'm going to put last year's drama behind me and be more transparent and even talk about, in a limited fashion, the well-documented issues he's had with most of his family members? Now, it could be something as basic as this. He's looking in his bank account and saying, I was scheduled to make $26 million. I'm making $46 million. You know why? Because I shook the Packers down last summer after all of the nonsense and the drama. And where is he going? Is he going to retire? It's a beautiful mystery. All this was a cash grab. It was creating leverage because he had none. The only thing he could do was the threat to walk away, demand a trade. Instead, he just wanted to get paid. And I'm not mad at him. We should all be chasing that paper. But now he's transformed himself from a guy who didn't have to put on the ski mask to somehow intimidate the Packers. All he had to do was threaten to leave, and he got what he wanted. And remember, this contract that not only gave him Powerball money, only puts Rodgers and the Packers together for 2 years. So we could be going through this yet again, unless you believe that he's being honest, saying he has no interest in emulating Tom Brady, that at the age of 38, it might be two more and done. He could walk away at 40 years old. Whether he's trying to reinvent himself as the second coming of Jerry Garcia, he's trucking his way to the San Francisco Bay Area, or he's had some spiritual awakening. If you believe him, if you think what he's saying is true, he better have a major degree of urgency this season. Because here's what Rodgers has drifted into. He's in danger of his legacy being overlooked long term. The history books will always have the four MVP awards back to back the last couple years. But Peyton Manning's got five MVP awards. And more important, he's won two Super Bowls. If Rodgers ends his career with just a single Super Bowl victory, and remember, he's not even been back to the Super Bowl since he got there in 2011. But if Rodgers walks away, not concerned about the raw passing numbers, everybody puts up video game numbers in a passing modern NFL. But if Rodgers wraps it up with one ring and that's it, I think history is not going to give him the full recognition he's due. And because now he is talking to ancient souls with whatever he is imbibing or ingesting, maybe the football gods have told him, hey, Aaron, time to wake up. You better win one more. And I don't think he's doing it without Davante Adams, because last time I checked, here's the receiving core: Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, and Sammy Watkins, who's made of glass. So Rodgers can enjoy every funkadelic moment he wants, but unless he wins that second ring over the next couple of years, I think he becomes much more of a footnote than he deserves to be, because I was the biggest Aaron Rodgers fanboy you'd ever meet prior to the COVID nonsense and the fact that he just refused to be honest. Even I, though, can't say a guy with just one ring belongs on the short list of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, even though, in my mind, he's the most skilled quarterback I've ever seen. Coming up, we'll check in with somebody who's been watching football even longer than I have. Howard Balzer has been covering the league for decades. Currently, he's tracking the Cardinals for Sports Illustrated. And you hear him on Sirius XM Radio. Among the topics we'll get into, since Howard is deeply immersed in Arizona, with the homework clause controversy behind him, what's in store for Kyler Murray this season, now that he's gotten paid? Football conversation to wrap up the program straight ahead. First, it's time for a sports update. Marco Belletti has the details.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
All right, Brian, all eyes remain on the Browns tonight. Expected to start Deshaun Watson against the Jaguars for the first preseason game. Watson eligible to play the preseason despite the six-game suspension. And, of course, the appeal by the NFL to make it a longer ban unless the ruling from the appeal comes down before kickoff. Elsewhere, don't look for Aaron Rodgers to play tonight against the 49ers. He made his feelings known about the preseason.
I definitely don't see any benefit to playing one series. You know, if we're going to play, we should play. And play a quarter, a couple series, two or three series. If we're going to just suiting up for four plays, to me, is a waste. So, and I'm.
Brian Weber with you. We are winding down. That means the Hall of Famer Jim Rome is warming up. Thankfully, Jim, back with you on Monday. But before we say goodbye, let's talk more football with one of the best in the business, an old friend. Howard Balzer covers the Cardinals for Sports Illustrated. You hear him on Sirius XM Radio. Howard, we have not chatted for a while. How are you?
Yeah, it's been a bit, Brian. I'm doing great. Hope you are, too.
I appreciate you taking the time. So, you know the Cardinals as well as anybody. What'd you make of this ongoing kerfuffle that seems now to have calmed down, going back to the homework contract clause, and then a week ago, Cliff Kingsbury asking Kyler Murray to call plays in practice so he would have to comprehend the challenge of that? It feels like, Howard, there's been a lot of drama.
Oh, there definitely has. And obviously that drama, I labeled it back in February, the young and the restless, because it was a total soap opera, beginning with everything that occurred with his social media and then his agent putting out an all caps manifesto, whatever you want to call it. So it's been drama all off season. And I think what's interesting too, Brian, is that the so-called homework clause, which obviously got a lot of chatter and a lot of discussion, it kind of obscured the fact that also in Kyler Murray's contract are over $9 million of bonuses over the next 6 years, not including this year, of course, but starting next year, for attending the off-season program. And, I mean, a lot of guys have bonuses in their contracts for the, you know, the voluntary parts of the off-season program, but none for that amount of money. In fact, the last 4 years are at about $1.8 million each year. And so that just shows that the Cardinals wanted to see certain things from Kyler Murray for what they put in the contract. You wouldn't think a guy that's all talking about, well, I want to win. I want to bring a Super Bowl to Arizona. We have to improve. You would think you wouldn't have to incentivize him at that level to show up at the off-season program. So I think that homework clause overshadowed that. But it, like you said, it has calmed down. Other things have cropped up, of course, with things around this team. And so, you know, obviously they're all hoping that the distractions will go away by the time the regular season begins in several weeks.
Howard, because you've been covering this league for decades and are very plugged in, I'd be remiss if I did not ask for your opinion on the Deshaun Watson situation. When we hear from Peter Harvey, do you think Watson's going to be suspended for a full year?
It sure seems to be trending that way. I think everyone would be surprised if he's not. The big question then, of course, Brian, is does the NFLPA, on behalf of Deshaun Watson, try to stop this suspension when they know they really don't have much of a leg to stand on? Because what everyone has to understand, like in the Tom Brady case, the Ezekiel Elliott case, where there were lawsuits filed, you can't sue on the facts of the case. Those have been determined. What you're suing on is the NFL's power to do it. And judges have shown and ruled that the NFL has that power. And especially in this case, where it was negotiated, this whole procedure was negotiated with the NFLPA. So it'll be interesting to see, because the point I've made, Brian, is this. It would probably benefit Deshaun Watson and the Browns, for that matter, if it is a year suspension. That's a calendar year, not based on games. And so it would be best to start it as soon as they can, because if all of a sudden you go to court, suppose something happens and they get an injunction about this starting, and let's say something settled in November, and now all of a sudden he's suspended starting then for the second half of the season and the first half of the next year. That doesn't benefit anybody. And so to start it now rather than the cut to 53 would be better, because it starts now, then he's able to return at this point next year heading into the preseason game. So I'm going to be very curious how it ends, but like I said, I'd be surprised if it's anything other than a year. And then you also wonder, will there be a fine tacked on to it? I think the NFL needs to do something about this rule that if you're suspended, the only money you lose is what's in your base salary, no matter what other signing bonuses and other bonuses you might have received. So even if he's out a year, it's not going to be that much of a financial hit. And that's another thing, if it goes into next year. I mean, next year he's got a big, big salary on the books. And so you don't want to start taking the chance of losing that. And so that's what makes it very intriguing to see how this all ends.
Talking football with Howard Balzer. Check out his great work, Sports Illustrated, and listen to him on Sirius XM Radio. Howard, got about 2 minutes left. The beauty of the NFL is its unpredictability. Every year, somebody rises up, like the Bengals, going from worst to first all the way to the Super Bowl. Who do you think could be the most improved team?
That's a great question. You know, a lot of people think it'll be Denver because of Russell Wilson. And that certainly is a possibility of happening. But I'll tell you something. I look at this Detroit Lions team, and I don't want to be, you know, overreact to Hard Knocks. But this was a team that finished last year 3-3. They're establishing a different culture there. The division overall isn't that difficult, aside from the Packers. And so I'm not predicting they'll be in the playoff hunt. But I think this is a team that could be very much improved this year and might surprise a lot of people.
Howard, great information as always. I really appreciate the opportunity to reconnect and look forward to chatting with you in more detail coming up. Enjoy your weekend.
Same to you, Brian. Take care.
Howard Balzer, a great name across the NFL, part of ESPN's original coverage of the NFL draft in 1982. Check him out on Sirius XM Radio. And that's our huge call brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Time to ask the pros, or just the singular pro. It's the fill-in hack today. Brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You, the clones, have the opportunity to submit the question to me, question@cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We will go with George Campbell, in part because of his Twitter handle. Soup grows cold. Brian, where do your musical leanings lean? We'll clean that up. How about what kind of music do you like? Wouldn't mind a segment or two on the topic. Just no more Rit, please. And Rit handed me this.
Thank you.
Not even paying attention now. Can you finish your book report? Time's a-wasting. Jim is back. And remember, Jim gets here much earlier than I do on Monday. Rit is panicked over there. I will be the quintessential, I like everything when it comes to music answer man. Although, I know this will be stunning. With all of my stories about college football hinging on 1992, with all my baseball references going back to 1983, I like classic anything, but certainly classic hip-hop, R&B. I'm not as suburban as I sound or look. So, on a Friday, Alvin, I just got paid. No, I don't get paid.
Straight cash, homie.
This is an internship. Work release. My recommendation to you on a Friday, put this in your A-track, bump a little Johnny Kemp, and it bears repeating. There have been 7 versions of the Brian Weber Show canceled along the way. This was my anthem on a Friday. Why do you think the show got canceled? Certainly couldn't be the host. My friends, we've made it. Jim Rome is back on Monday. Want to thank our guests, just two today. Football analysis from Howard Balzer and Jason Cole. Check out his excellent book on John Elway, Elway, A Relentless Life. As always, a lot of people I want to acknowledge. Thanks primarily to Jim Rome. Hope you all know how much I value and appreciate every time I'm in this studio. Jim, Craig Kitchen, Spike Eskin, David Miernach, all of the terrific people at CBS Sports Radio. The XR4TI, it was Alvin. Welcome back. Garrett, keep on riding, pal. The boss man is coming through that door. I appreciate your emails, phone calls, and tweets. Jim is back on Monday. My name is Brian Weber, and I'll talk to you down the road on CBS Sports Radio.